Listen to the angels rejoicing air so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ was born. Listen to the second verse. It says, can't you see the people coming from every nation? They are pleading for salvation the night that Christ was born. Let's go. Listen to the angels. Listen to the angel rejoicing, rejoicing and so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory, receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people? Can't you see the people coming from every nation? Coming from every nation, pleading for salvation, pleading for salvation. The night that Christ was born. Oh, say, whoa.
The night that Christ was born.
Let's sing that again. Listen to the angel. Listen to the angel. Rejoicing, rejoicing and so sweetly. Receiving heaven's glory.
Receiving heaven's glory.
The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ.
Can't you see the people? Come on and say it.
Can't you see the people
coming from every nation?
Coming from every nation.
Pleading for salvation.
Pleading for salvation.
The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ was born.
Whoa, whoa. Say,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ was born.
Listen to the trumpet.
Listen to the trumpet.
Shouting through the darkness.
Shouting through the dark.
Shouting holy, holy.
Shouting holy, holy.
The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ was born.
Let's sing that again. Listen to the trumpet. Say it.
Listen to the trumpet.
Shouting through the darkness.
Shouting through the darkness.
Shouting holy, holy.
Shouting holy.
Yes, sir. The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ.
Oh, such a wonderful.
Oh, such a wonderful say.
To be born
in a manger,
so that I
can share his faith,
and my heart be made anew. Listen to the trumpet, come on.
Listen to the trumpet,
shouting through the dark. Yes, sir.
Shouting through the dark.
Shouting holy, holy.
Shouting holy, holy.
The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ was born.
Can't you see the people? Say it.
Can't you see the people
coming from every nation?
Coming from every nation.
Pleading for salvation.
Pleading for salvation.
The night that Christ was born.
The night that Christ was born.
Listen to the angels. Listen to the angel rejoicing. Rejoicing and so sweetly receiving heaven, receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ, the night that Christ was born. Hallelujah.
We are much obliged for you being who you are. You have, just because you are who you are, have not only created us, but you saved us. Not only have you saved you, you've been our constant companion. When we were up and when we were down, when we was right and even when we was wrong, you were always there by our side. You haven't given up on us. We've got many friends and even families have given up on us. But you who knows all things still hold us by our hands and keep us from falling into the depths of hell. We thank you this morning for being such a great God. Can't help but glorify your name. For we can't find anything that you have done that you did wrong. If anything, that everything you've done, you did it more than good. Yes, sir, Lord. You've been so good, 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 good to us. We ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you will, from the scripture that was read by Sister Ruth to you this morning, and you read along, you can go back to it if you will. It's Hebrews 1st chapter, verses 10 through 12. I want to talk this morning on the subject, Christ, the beginning and the end. Christ, the beginning and the end. I guess I need to do some clarification in the subject to make sure that you understand the kind of thought pattern I had to come up with this title. Because first, what I put here is nothing new. It's not my creation. It is so clearly spelled out through scripture. It's in the book of the Revelator that we find Jesus himself claiming, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He makes it so clear to us. It is in the book of John. As he opens up the book, he talks about Jesus' beginning by claiming him as being in the beginning was the Word. That is Jesus. He not only was he in the beginning, but he was with God. And the truth of the matter, he was God. The same was in the beginning. What an interesting thing that the Bible is loaded with these interesting statements. We find that Jesus announces later and claims that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not change. That's talking about his ending. He makes it so clear to us. But the Hebrew writer ended up using this interesting quoted passage. It's not even real to him. He was opening his book. You know, the book of Hebrew was written for the purpose of grabbing holds to Old Testament symbols. and to be able to show how they convey themselves to point to Jesus Christ. And the book opens up with the Hebrew writer claiming something interesting. He said, in days of old, God gave the word to the prophets and the apostles. He gave the word to them, those prophets and those seers that they can bring down to folk. He said, but here recently, God has said his last word. And that last word being Jesus himself. In due time. In God's time, not our time. God sends Jesus here as to bring the final word from the Lord. What an interesting phrase. And as he talks about this, he began to say, you need to understand something about this final word. It's greater than anything the prophets has ever said. Matter of fact, he's greater than any prophet. Not only prophets, but he's even greater than the angels. And the Hebrew writer says, let me give you an example. When he came, God claimed him to be his son. And said, he said, have God claimed that to any angels to be their son, that they were his son? He said, at the same time, he said, he was his son and he will become his son's father. He lays this whole picture out to talk about how greater this word was. Then he gets to the place that he quotes a passage of scripture that is found in Psalms 102. Find it for me. Psalms 102. It's found in only two verses. Verse 25 and 26. It's a psalm where God is, where the psalmist is talking about the magnificence of not only of God, but of God's coming gift. And you got it? Now, let me read the Hebrew to you. And you look at it in the Psalms. He also says, In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Am I close? So the Hebrew writer couldn't find the words to say what he wanted to say. So he depends on the writings from his old. And to be able to talk about this Jesus. And it, like I said, I could easily quote it, the Revelation passage in Revelation 1. But it doesn't ring like this. It doesn't. It doesn't have the feel. Because here, as you look at this passage, it lets us know something interesting. That was Jesus, then the world, and then they're going to be Jesus. That was Jesus, then the world, and then there's going to be Jesus. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. Anything that we want to claim is somewhere between Jesus. And no matter how old we get and no matter how much we think we know, it's still between Jesus. Jesus said it, thought about it, lived it before you even was born. And after you go, he'll still be saying it, thinking about it, and still living it after you gone. Yeah, there's Jesus. And then there's us. And then there's Jesus. He's the beginning. and the end. It's not a way to round up life. It's life's bookends. You see it? It's life bookends. You can have all the books you want. If you haven't got a way to make them stand up on each end, they'll fall apart. Jesus is life's bookends. At the beginning, he started to stack our lives correctly. And at the end, he makes sure it stays. If you move him out of the way, it falls or lean the wrong way. And it will fall. Now, the truth of the matter, you don't have anything to do with the beginning. Because that was all God's doing. The Genesis passage lets us know that God didn't consult man about whether or not they needed Jesus or not. He consulted himself and says, you know something? We need to make us a man. He talks to himself. And he consults himself to put the first book in your life. You're coming here, no matter how you got here. That was something that hold you up to keep you from falling back over where you were. Because you really didn't deserve to get here. The hymn writer, the psalmist had it right. He said, but you know what? I was born in iniquity. And in sin, my mother conceived me. And if sin is the reason that we die, we shouldn't have made it through the channel to be born. But that was Jesus. Who was the beginning? Not only the beginning of this world, but the beginning of your life. And you didn't have an option. That's the grace of God. How gracious it is. See, sometimes we forget the challenges it is to be born. Even women sometimes forget the challenges of childbirth and how the laboring take place. Because at any moment, that child, there's a difference between life and death. And don't fool yourself. You don't birth children out of luck. It's Jesus. You got 9 months to miscarry. And just before birth, you can end up having a stillborn. There's so many things in the way in giving birth. But Jesus was that first that kept you from falling backwards. That kept your children from falling backwards. He held them up and brought them into this world. He's the beginning. You breathe your first breath because he made it possible. You did your first squeal because he made it possible. You took your first step because he made it possible. You ate your first meal because he made it possible. Don't put no weight on yourself. You don't have the ability to do anything. It's Jesus. What an interesting place that he didn't give you a chance to choose. Isn't it interesting? Because some of us are placing our life in our rebellious moments or in our moments that we didn't put much value in our parents, wish that we'd been born to somebody else. But your parents didn't have anything to do with that. That was Jesus doing that. He chooses where you land when you come here. Yeah, he makes the choices. So don't get angry about how you got here. You ought to thank him that you got here. Because there are just as many who didn't make it as it was you who got here. He made it possible for you. He gave you lungs to breathe air and gave you a mind to think and gave you arms that you could hug folk. You ought to thank him for it. He did that without even consulting you. You laid the foundation of the earth. You did it in the beginning. And even the heavens are the works of your hands. Nothing escapes you. Nothing that exists didn't have your touch. It's John that makes it clearer when he talks about that Jesus is the life. He said, yes, he's life. But you need to understand that he's not only life, but he's the light. And nothing came into existence without him. What an interesting place that those folk out there who don't want to trust Jesus, you need to remind them that the only reason they're here to be able to say they don't trust him, that he made it possible for them. It was him who made it possible for them to say no when he called them. You ever thought about it? It was him. When they decided to cuss us out because we talk about Jesus, it was he who gave them the strength to say what they said. And the mind to chase out the evilness and still what's right. Jesus gave it to them in the beginning. In the beginning. Then there's us. From the moment we came into this world, Jesus courted us. He has courted us in every possible way that one could think and imagine that is good. He made some of our worst moments when we look back on to be a learning lesson for us not to treat other folks the way we were treated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right in the midst of us. Even though he's not pronounced, he's still there. He's woven in everything that we are. He works for us in our behalf. He fights battles for us that we don't even know we got. We always want to brag about the good stuff he did for us. That's just the stuff you know about. There's a whole lot of other stuff he's done for us that you never will know about. And the old folks had it right when they cried out, Lord, I want to thank you for seen and unseen blessings. And if you be right honest this morning, there's some things you haven't thought him for, haven't thanked him for, simply because you thought it was your mom and daddy that made it happen. A next door neighbor made it happen. Or because you got enough education to make it happen. Or because you got some money to make it happen. But you understand that everything you got, Jesus made it possible for you. He's constantly working it out. He's constantly fixing it in place. He's constantly got that thin line that works in your favor. There's Jesus. And then there's us. Yeah, in the midst of all that Jesus does, everyone has been guilty of cursing him. In our own way, we have turned our back on him. And we've been moments where we laughed at the folks, the saints in front of us, because we didn't want none of that hocus pocus that they had. And we made it our business to schedule something else so we didn't go to church. Some of us were made to go to church till we got grown. The reason we left home is so that we didn't have to go to church. I'm grown up. I can do what I want to when I can want to. I had a woman one time in my pastor. She said, I don't make my children go to church. I said, why not? She said, because they made me go to church all my days. And I promised I wouldn't make my children. I said, did it hurt you? She looked at me. She said, no. I said, how do you sing like you do? And she had a voice of a nightingale. And she said, Reverend, God gave it to me. Where did you meet God at? And you denying your children of the opportunity? I'm talking to some of you now. You say, well, they don't want to go. You ought to do like Fred Gordon did, and he wasn't even a Christian. You go into church and you go into school. If you don't want to go, you find somewhere else to stay. It's something about being around Jesus folk. I don't care how crooked they may want to act. Something about being around them. The lacing begin to tie us up. Some of us around the church and left the church. But we came back not because somebody told us, but we got some lacing when we was out there. And it got a way of calling us back in. Ain't it good to know that when you do throw bread on the water, God got a way of bringing the bread back to him. And there's us. We wrestle with it in the middle of our journey. Even when we try to do it right, we still wrestle with it. We still mess up. We got dirt embedded in our nails. There's bugginess in our minds. And there's an ugly jitterbug in our step. And I don't care how well we can holy dance, or how much good we'll do, and how much our minds on the Lord, we'll slip back to be us every now and then. And most time is more every than then. But in the midst of that, there's still Jesus. See, when I talk about bookends, I think about a bookend I used to own where they had the end on this and the end on that. But right in the middle that kept those ends together was a flat piece of metal that ran under the books. That even when it wouldn't meet the other end, those books were still held up. Even when you haven't reached and took Jesus, he's still holding you up. And those who want to deny him, you can deny him if you want to. He's still holding you up. Or when you laid down last night, the reason you were able to wake this morning, he was holding you up. Yeah, the reason you didn't get caught in that mess you was in yesterday, he was holding you up. Woo! And he'll keep holding you up. Notice what he says. I need for you to understand, he's not only the beginning and the end, he doesn't change. He said, everything I made, everything that's been made, it changes. The earth changed, the heavens change, other stuff. I tell you so, it's so bad it wears out. It's like a garment. It wears down. You got to go put it aside. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all got them pieces of clothing that you just love them to death. Yeah. Yeah, they wearing out. You should get rid of them. They don't fell out of shape. Yeah, yeah. They don't fit right anymore. But you still hold on to them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got, and you see me wearing, I got two or three of those things you put over your head on top of your shirt and you just zip it up here. I like to wear it. I was put on one the other night, a Friday night to go to class, and I looked in the mirror and I got embarrassed because it took the shape of me when I was fat and it stuck way out there. And I said to myself, I'm about to get rid of these things. I got to put something new on. Not because I want to look good, but something about when stuff wear out. You know, that's the truth. That's why I got saved. I never thought about it that way. Because what I was depending on ran out. It just wore out. Now, think about it. When you got saved, that stuff that you thought could help you over, it got to the place it just bugged you to death. Yeah. You get to the place that you don't want to be around it. It gets to the place that it's uncomfortable with you. It is wear out. It gets out of shape. And you get to looking for something else, and you discover that the same Jesus that brought you here is right under you, waiting to pick you up again. On my bookshelf, when I have them two out there like that, and if I don't have enough books on that, I will slant books to make sure to hold the books up. I don't want none of them to lay down. I'm going to slant them so they can be touching another book, even though there's space. The whole shelf hasn't, instrument has not been filled up. I move them and shape them, and so they can stay in place. Don't you know God been doing that? He's a master of that. Because until we accept Jesus as our second bookend, I need to let you know that second bookend you don't get because God give it to you. You got to want it. And until you want it, God will manipulate your life. He'll keep twisting and shaping things so you don't fall over dead. Just giving you another day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he gives you a song that lasts just for a little while. Yeah. And give you a little thought to make you feel a little good at for a moment. He just keep manipulating, hoping that sooner or later you want to fill the whole shelf. And in that process, there's some stuff that he used to hold it up that ain't no good. I do that sometime, and I have these paper books, paperback books. And I got all these books there, and I get some paper books to put in there. And when it stay for a while, the paper books begin to bend and fold. And the books that mean something begin to come closer. I got to go find another paper book to put into place to hold it up. Yeah. Everything else, it get wore out. And he says, you know what? You don't change. You even roll it up like a scroll. You get rid of it because it's days in, but I came by and he made sure that we understand. But you remain the same and your years will never end. That day, that Friday, when I beg for the opportunity to be considered to have a bookend on the other end, I received that bookend, and all those worthless paperback novels in my life disappeared. And all at once, I found that I was full. There was no room for nothing else but Jesus. When you're really saved, and not that you're not going to do something wrong, but the truth of the matter is, there's nothing but Jesus. Yeah, you may get in trouble, and you may fall flat on your face. You may get caught doing something totally wrong, but you know deep down in your soul, there's nothing but Jesus. And he becomes that other bookend. Truth matter, I need him at the other bookend. The first bookend just brought me from eternity to time. I need some transportation to move from time to eternity. And I can't do that on my own. No, no, I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus. I need him to be able to move me from that place on the shelf to be around the throne of God. I can't do it by something you say, or the way you act, or the way I act. I need Jesus to do that. So I need the other book in. He is the beginning. And he's the end of everything. Because the bottom line, when heaven and earth is gone, when there's not another hymn sung this side of Jordan, when there's not a sermon preached nowhere on this earth, that still will be Jesus. When this world will be vacated by the powers of God, that he will consume all that is wrong and all that is evil, the book lets us know that Jesus is going to call all those who are righteous to meet him in the air. That's still going to be Jesus. And in that day, I don't have to worry about that other stuff, because I'll be changed so fast you can't keep up with it. I heard a fellow that we said, it's just like blinking your eyes. I said, no, it ain't blinking of eye. He said, yeah, Reverend, that's that fast. I said, it's faster than that. He said, what? I said, twinkling is not blinking. I said, when you blink, that somebody can register that. But when you're a twinkle, nobody can register. They just see how you act. And he said, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. There's going to be some changes made. And you can't go out and buy the book in at the time that the change is made. You already have to have the other book in. He said, and you will be changed. For the mother shall put on immortality. Yeah, well, I'm going to move from dying to living. Isn't that an interesting place to be? And this is where Jesus ranks and files for our lives, that he is our beginning. He is our ending. The moment up he shows up for Mary has nothing to do with his entry into the world. It just was the pronouncing that salvation was coming in, because he had already been here. The book says it was he who created it. And the book lets us know it'll be he who will stand and claim those who were his when it is destroyed and cast away. This morning, where are you? No, where is Jesus in your life? Are you where? Now, you know he's on this side. He's your reason for being here. I want to know, is he on this side? That he becomes your transporter that moves you from these mundane shores of this world to a place that is eternal in the heaven, where there'll be no more trouble, no more dying, no more crying, no more sickness. Oh yeah, a place where the devil will have no place to stand and sin will have no control over nobody. I want to know, where are you? You ought to know that. You don't have to get no college degree. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. If you've been saved, you know you're saved. You don't have to hesitate about it, whether anybody asks you that or not. You know that Jesus is my source. I was looking the other day at the, keep playing, baby. I looked the other day, and she made me think about it when she started playing. I looked the other day, just looked at it for a little while. Frankie was looking at a show on TV where they was making candy. And strange enough, they were making them peppermint sticks. And I watched them as they were making those peppermint sticks. They got talking about all different kind of peppermint sticks they made. And some of them, and they, all of them start off white, and they would add another color candy in it to change the color. Sometimes they were thin. Sometimes they were broad. You know, if you don't know them, you just like a bland candy stick that you're not even aware that you have the stripes in you. But when you've been saved, that bold red will stick out because you know it had been the blood of Jesus that saved you of your sin. And this morning, you ought to look and say, hey, have I got that blood? Did that blood save me? Or did I do this all myself? Jesus want to make a difference for you right now. Right now, he want to make a difference for you. And as we stand on our feet, will you come?